thankful for your presence this morning. We hope you get your Bibles and follow along. We're going to be reading a lot of passages this morning, today, in order to try to encourage us. In the last few weeks, I have been speaking about lessons that we have learned during this pandemic, or lessons that we should have learned and hopefully are learning through this pandemic, and we have been dealing with various things. Last Lord's Day, we looked at the subject that this world is broken, and it is broken for a lot of reasons. But the main reason that this world is broken is because they have forgotten about God, that they have ceased to follow His counsel and His precepts, and they have decided to go a different way and go down a different path and try to chart a new course. But throughout history, that is not anything that's new. It's not something that should surprise us. That has been tried many, many times and with the same result. And this result will be the same. And that is that it's going to end in a disaster, because it's not going to bring about things that are helpful, things that are good, and things that's going to help us as we live our lives here. And so, as Christians, even though these things are going around all about us and we are concerned and we're troubled by some of the decisions and the directions that many people are taking, we need to know that God did not leave us without help in time of trouble. When there is trouble and when there is difficulty in life, God just didn't wind the earth up and let her go, and then she could fend for herself. That's not what God did. God put things in place that would be able to be a help for us when we had times of trouble. I want you to take your Bibles out this morning and turn to Psalms chapter 46. We are going to study the 46th Psalm, and we're going to use that as helping us understand our subject this morning. And our subject is, God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in time of trouble. We're going to talk about refuge and strength, and both can be gained in God through Christ. And so God left us with some avenues that we could protect ourselves, and if you want to use the term, immune yourself from allowing the difficulties and tragedies of this present life to overwhelm us, to discourage us, to cause us to be discontented, to try to rob the joy out of our life, and to try to make it seem that there is no light at the end of the tunnel. I want to suggest to you that nothing could be farther from the truth. And God's word can help us see the light at the end of the tunnel. In our text this morning, we're going to look at this in three different ways. We're going to look, first of all, at God's protection. God's protection is mentioned in verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to talk about God's presence in verse 4 through 7. And then tonight, we're going to talk about God's preeminence and how God's preeminence can help us have courage and confidence that God can lead us through the darkness and the gloom to the light. But let us begin by looking at the first three verses of Psalms chapter 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake and it swells, and its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, just as the break of dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to end on the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, over and over in this psalm, it mentions the fact that God is with us, that God is ever present in time of danger. Now, Psalm 46 is filled with familiar themes that you can find throughout the book of Psalms. You can read the book of Psalms and you will see these themes and these statements made over and over throughout the 150 Psalms. And what it does, most have little problem with their faith when life is treating them well. Before the pandemic hit, I hope some of us can remember that. I know it's been a while. But before the pandemic hit, we really weren't struggling with our faith. We had problems, but we weren't really worried about the future. And so, but sadly, when trials come, when tribulations come, and they present themselves, as they inevitably do, many lose their trust and faith in God. It is not because they don't have their faith in God. It is not because they don't trust God. It is because they begin to exchange one benefit for another doubt. And where fear and doubt can be removed, it can be removed by trusting and knowing that God knows what's going on, that God cares, and God, in his providential care, will watch over us. But again, nowhere in the scripture has God ever promised that we will not have difficulty, that we will not have adversity, that we will not have struggles from time to time in our lives. We're going to have struggles that have the magnitude of the world. We're involved in a struggle that's not just affecting us. It's affecting the whole world. It's affecting our whole nation. It's not just affecting one part of the country. It's affecting the whole world. And so it's not isolated. It's not an isolated case. Now, again, these kind of things don't come along very often. Come along every 100 years, lucky us. We live in the second time that it came around. It came around in 1918 in the Black Plague, and now it has reared its head in 2020. And so we have a national and a world catastrophe, and it's a very, very real problem. It has caused the death of 400,000 of our citizens. It is real, and it is something that we're going to have to deal with. But again, unfortunately, over the period of time, we have not been really made aware of exactly the threat or how to combat it. We get conflicting instruction. We get conflicting evidence. We get conflicting items of what really has happened or what has really transpired. And what's happened is it causes us to doubt. It causes us to fear because we can't trust the information we do get, that we can't trust that it's accurate and it's what it should be. And again, that's a flaw that's in our system. That's not something that we created. That's a flaw in our system. But again, that does not take away the fact that we're still going to have to live in the world, and we're still going to have to function in this society. We're just going to have to do it differently than we've done in the past. Now, our reactions to trials manifest true strength or weakness of our faith. Now, brethren, there's been a lot of debate on the internet, on social media, and among brethren that has not been very healthy, and it has not been very encouraging, and it has been at times not very accurate. Now, because people handle this virus and these times differently does not necessarily mean that it is because of a lack of faith or lack of trust in God. Those are conclusions that many are drawing that are unwarranted, that are things that put us in a dangerous position. I want you to take your Bible for a moment, and I want you to turn to Matthew 23. And I want you to look at a statement that Jesus made to the Pharisees when he was here on earth. In Matthew 23, is probably one of the greatest rebukes and the sternest rebukes that God's Son ever gave while he was upon the earth. And it's not just a few verses, it's really the whole chapter. The whole chapter is a stern rebuke of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jewish nation as a whole. But in verse number 2, he makes this conclusion. He says, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sat in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not according to their works, for they say and they do not. But what I want you to see here is that they sat in Moses' seat. What does that mean? They're trying to sit in a seat that does not belong to them. They're trying to take authority that does not belong to them. Listen to me, brethren. I've told you this over and over during this pandemic, and I hope it is sinking in. Do not try to understand and think that you know what's in the mind of another Christian and why they're doing or not doing how they're handling this virus. I don't know what's in another Christian's mind unless they reveal it to me. I don't know what they're thinking unless they reveal it to me. What is my responsibility to my brethren? My responsibility to my brethren is to love them, care for them, pray for them, and help them, no matter how they view this pandemic, no matter how they handle it. Now, we're not going to agree, and obviously we don't all agree. But again, charging some people with certain things because they don't take the position that you have is putting yourself in the position of acting like God. You're not God. I'm not God. I can't tell somebody what they're thinking in their mind. I'll give you one example. I'm not going to conclude that because somebody doesn't do something the way that I think they ought to do it, that they don't love me. I'm not gonna jump that bridge. I'm not going to run to the conclusion that they don't love me. I'm just going to love them and I'm going to do what I can. Now again, that's what we do because in the end, we're brethren and the brethren are to love one another and we're to support the strong and the weak. But how we react to trials does say something about our faith. It does say something about our trust in God. Like it or not, that's just a fact. It does say something about how we trust and believe in God. Now, we may forsake God to protect our carnal treasures or cower in the corner paralyzed by fear. You can do that. And again, I believe some have done that. I'm not talking in particular about here. I think I've witnessed some who have been paralyzed by fear. And again, there are some people who have a right to do that. You know, there were people in the very beginning of this pandemic who had very serious health issues. I told them to stay away. I told them that because of their health issues, that there's much more danger for them than there is for other people. I understand that. Now, I had hoped at the time it would be temporary, but it has not panned out that way. But again, I understand that. There are other people who are more vulnerable to this than others. But again, everybody's got to make their own decision. But what is bothering me and what is really worrying me is that we have forgotten about God in this process. We have forgotten where God is. And we have forgotten that he's still on the throne. He still loves us. He still cares for us. And he'll help us. But to help us, we have to trust him. And we have to put our faith and trust in Him, and that is where we run into a problem. Now, I want to talk for a moment about what a refuge is, because every one of us, this is what we need. We need a safe refuge for our fears and for our anxieties and troubles. We need a place where we can be at rest and have a refuge. So let's define what we mean. Refuge is safety and free from danger as a figurative extension of a place of refuge or shelter. It's a safe haven. It's somewhere we can go and know that everything is okay. That can give us peace, tranquility, comfort, and strength. It's a real place of safety. That's what refuge is. And we need it, especially in times such as we are living in now. God is our refuge. God is our strength. The picture of a high place of refuge and defense to which one might flee for protection. I want you to open your Bible, and I want us to listen to God's word as He over and over talks about this in the book of Psalms and Proverbs. In Psalms 14, in verse number 6. Psalms 14, in verse number 6. You shame the counsel of the poor, but the Lord is his refuge. In chapter 46 and verse 2, we just read it a few moments ago. In verse 46 and verse 2, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth would be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Why? Because he is our refuge and our strength. In chapter 61, in verse number 4, 61 in verse number 4. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. In chapter 62, verse 8 and 9. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are a lie. If they are weighed in scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. In chapter 71, in verse number 7. 71, in verse number 7. I have become as a wonder to many, but you are my, excuse me, strong refuge. In chapter 73, verse number 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all of your works. And then in chapter 91, verse 1 and 2, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. Chapter 94, verse number 22. But the Lord has been my defense, and the God, the rock of our refuge. And then in chapter 142. And again, I'm just touching the hem of the garment in these passages. There are many more than the ones I'm listing here. In 142, verse 6, it says, attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. And then in Proverbs 14, verse number 26, Proverbs 14, verse number 26, it says, in fear of the Lord there is strong confidence, and the children will have a place of refuge. And then when we look at some of the prophets, now the prophets wrote during the period when God's people were being ungodly and unfaithful. And in Isaiah chapter 25, prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, they're trying to get God's people to go turn back to God. And in Isaiah 25, in verse number 4, it says, "For you have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat, for the blast of terrible winds of their storm against the wall." And then in chapter 28, in verse number 15 and 17, "Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and Sheol, we are in agreement. With the overflowing scourge passes through us, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods we have hidden ourselves." Now again, in this passage, they have taken the wrong refuge. They took refuge in their lies and their truth that were against God's word. Verse 17, "Also I will make justice the measuring line, the righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place." He points out that they cannot stand, those lies cannot stand against the truth. And then in Jeremiah chapter 17, in verse 17, sorry, this new Bible is, pages are sticking together. "Do not be a terror to me, for you are my hope in the day of doom." Now, in all of these passages, they insist and they keep understanding that God is our storm shelter. Whatever the danger is, whatever the hardship is, whatever the trouble is, whatever disaster we're looking at, whether we're talking about the pandemic, whether we're talking about political unrest, whether we're talking about civil unrest, whether we're talking about an illness that we may be dealing with, whatever the trouble is, God is the storm shelter. He's the one that we can seek as a place of refuge. It's a place where we can go that will give us calm, that will give us peace, that will quiet our hearts, that we might not be overwhelmed by the difficulty. But the refuge cannot help you if you don't go to it. The refuge cannot benefit you if you don't use it or if you don't have faith in it. And again, those are things that we have to do. Those are things that we have to turn. We have to turn to Him. We have to turn to that place of refuge, that place where we can have peace. And that will give us what the next word is, strength. What do we mean here by strength? We mean power and might, a condition in which one can exert great force or withstand great force, with a focus on having the ability to do what is desired, intended, or necessary. You can have the strength to withstand any onslaught against your faith, against your well-being, against the difficulties that you're facing. God can give you refuge and give you strength to endure and to overcome. God encourages and enables His people that they may endure, gaining eventual victory over enemy invaders. You remember when they stood at the Red Sea and the Egyptians were behind them and they were frightened and they were worried. And you remember what Moses told those people at that time in Exodus 14? He said, "You stand still and you see the salvation of the Lord. For the enemy that you fear today, you will never see again." And then the Red Sea parted and they were able to go across on dry ground. You see, He gave them strength to take the walk across. And He protected them and He saw them through that. But you know what? They should have known that. That should have not ever worried them when they came to the Red Sea. You know why? What did they just witness in Egypt? What did they just experience? What did they just see? What did they see God do with those plagues that He brought into Egypt? He destroyed the greatest power on earth. And they had an eyewitness seat. They were right there in the front row. They saw it happen. How did they think that the Red Sea presented a problem that God couldn't get over? It's because their faith was not strong enough. It's because they had not fully put their trust and confidence in God. Same thing when they go through the wilderness and they don't have water and they don't have food. And they worry and they're concerned and they're ready to go back to Egypt. Why? Because of lack of trust and faith in God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, in talking about temptation, Jesus has promised that he will always make a way of escape. But there's something else that's very important about that promise. He says that we won't be tempted beyond what we're able to endure. Now, brethren, let me give you another viewpoint of this pandemic. It is a temptation. It is a temptation to trust yourselves more than you trust God in dealing with it. But God says he won't tempt you beyond what you're able. We can get through this pandemic. It's not something we don't have the ability to get over on. It's not something we don't have the ability to get through. But we'll not get through it by ourselves. And if we try, it's going to be a very difficult time. And we're going to have a very difficult time, and we may handle it badly if we try to deal with it by ourselves. You see, we've got to trust God that his promises mean something. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 18, he gives us the Christian armor. Do you think this Christian armor is only used at times when things are good? No, this armor is also for us to use when we face an enemy. And brethren, this pandemic is an enemy. It's an enemy. It can seek your physical life, but it also seeks to destroy your mind, to destroy your well-being, to destroy your confidence and trust in God, and to rob you of any joy in your life by paralyzing you with fear. The pandemic has the ability to do that. And unfortunately, in many people, that's exactly what it's done. It's paralyzed them, and they have forgotten about God. Now, you know what? There's things that we can all do and we should do. And there's steps that we should take to protect ourselves and others. We should do that. But we still have to live life. You know, we still have to work. You know, I still have to provide for my family. I still got to do the things that are necessary to do. You know, that hasn't stopped. In this pandemic, I'll just use myself. My work hasn't stopped. I haven't taken a break. I haven't stopped because of the pandemic. You have to move forward. You have to do what you have to do. You be as safe as you can. That's what I do. That's what me and my Rita do. We be as safe as we can. But I'm gonna let God help me out. I'm gonna let God give me a little faith and trust that he'll protect me, that he'll watch over me. And you know what? That doesn't mean that I won't get the virus. I may still get it. I may do everything that they tell me to do, and I'll still get it. And then I'll pray to God help me to recover. And if I didn't recover, does that mean that God didn't protect? No. No, you know what that means? It means exactly what Matthew 5:45 says. It rains on the just and the unjust. Did the 400,000 people that have died, were they just ungodly people? Were they just people that were unbelievers? No. We've lost good people, people who were God-fearing Christians, people who were striving to serve God. I know several gospel preachers in the Philippines that have died because of this virus. They were doing God's work and they contracted the virus. That doesn't mean that God didn't protect them. It is, brethren, living in this world is a package deal. You get the good and you get the bad. You know what? We've had to live with viruses our whole life. The flu, polio, TB, shingles. All those things exist in the world. I get shots for all those things to protect myself, to try to get me immune to those things. You know, when I was in the military, they made me take that flu shot. I took it every year, and every time I took it, I got it. So I got a kind of aversion to it, and I quit taking it. And I haven't taken it since I've been out of the military. I haven't got the flu yet. Now, I'll probably get it tomorrow after I said that. But, you know, this year I'm going to take it. This is going to be the first year I'm going to take it, and I'm going to take it because we have been locked down. I think a lot of us are going to be, we're going to have more problems when the virus is over because of all the things that we have shielded ourselves from. Our immune system's going to be down, and we're going to be more likely to catch things. You know, that's it's amazing to me. I was reading the other day, it says, why, it's amazing. We, you know, the flu is way down. You think? You think it is? Maybe it's not as down as we think it is. Maybe it's because that we've stayed in, that we're not out there, we're not mingling is why it's down. But again, we're not going to run away from problems. You're going to have to deal with them. Brethren, let me tell you something I've learned about this virus. You know what I've learned? You're going to have to live with it. You're going to have to learn to live with it. Even when we get the vaccines, the virus is still going to be here. And what we do is we get vaccinated for it like we do everything else. And you know, sometimes the vaccines work, sometimes they don't. But one of the advantages that we have now that we did not have a year ago, we know how to deal with it. We know things that we have things that we can do now to deal with it in order that it might not escalate. And you know what? Just, you know, people say, you know, you got to follow the science. Okay, follow the science. The science says the least spreader of this virus are children. 99.4%. But our schools are closed. Follow the science. Look for yourself. Go out there and look. There's a child, for whatever reason, because of their genetic makeup, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I don't know why that is. And in the beginning, if you caught this and you were over 70, your success, your hope of beating it was greatly diminished. But do you know now that people over 70 that contract the virus have an 85% success rate? You couldn't say that a year ago. Why is it different? Because we're learning how to deal with it. And you know why we're learning to deal with it? Because of the intelligence that God gave man to figure it out and to get a hold of it. And so, again, what I'm telling you is it's here. We're going to have to deal with it. But, brethren, don't allow it to destroy everything else around us. And that's the thing that we've got to work. Don't forget about God. What does it mean, present? He's our refuge and strength in the present time. Well, that means find, to meet, to get. That means now. God's help is abundantly available to all who seek it by faith. Did God go somewhere during the pandemic? He's where he's always been. He's on his throne, and he's there. What does 1 Peter 5, verse 7 say? Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. God still cares for us. He still loves us. He knows what we need. You know what Matthew 6 says? It says that he knows what we need before he's there. Do you think God knows that we need help to protect us from getting this virus? And then if we get it, we pray for his help to recover from it. And some of you here have got it. And you recovered. Okay, God's watching over us. God's helping us. Now, again, that doesn't mean that we won't get it. And it doesn't mean that we could not get it and could not have a bad outcome. I don't know the answer to that, in your life or in my own. I just know I'm going to trust God whichever way it goes. If I never get it, I'm going to be thankful. And if I get it and it's unsuccessful and I lose my life, if I've lived my life right, that's my gain. That's my gain. I'm going to die at some point. You're going to die at some point. Now, I'm not telling you to go out there and try to catch it, but if you catch it, if your life's right with God, and if it doesn't go the way that we would hope it would go, that doesn't mean you lost. Does it? Does it mean you lost? God's help is available if we trust Him and if we'll turn to Him. God is always ready and able to provide the help His people need. You know, when Joshua was taking over for Moses, he told Joshua, do not be dismayed. He's going in to conquer the promised land. And the enemy is superior to them. The enemy is superior to the Israelites. And he told Joshua from the first day, do not be dismayed. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And you know what? Joshua conquered the promised land. He conquered it before he died. He trusted God. And that's what you have to do. You have to trust God. Turn to Hebrews 13. Here's a passage that should give us all pause. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? God will never turn his back on us. Ever. The only way that God would turn his back on you is if you turn your back on God. And then you don't leave him any, you don't leave him any, you don't leave him any, he has to. You don't leave him any other option. When you go into sin and you live contrary to his will and you're walking in sin and living in sin, he can't have fellowship with that. But again, he didn't make that choice. He didn't make that choice in your life. You or I do. And if we choose that route, then he will leave us. But God is where he's always been during this pandemic. He hasn't left. He hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't left us to fend for ourselves. Now again, what we need to do is we need to understand that he can provide help. And he can provide help. And you know, one of the greatest fears, whether you catch the virus or not, there is still a problem. Because it's the worry. It's the anxiety. It's the frustration that your life's been turned upside down. It's the frustration that you can't go about your... You know what? Other than your regular family, and sometimes that's not even taking place. I don't remember the last time I hugged somebody outside of my normal family or shook their hand. I could never imagine when I saw my dad last January 16th on his 88th birthday, that when he celebrated his 89th birthday, that would mark a year since I've seen him. You know, last year, I didn't know that would happen. I didn't know that. Now, do I like that? No. But do I understand it? Yes. He, at his age and in his health, he is one that is very vulnerable to this disease. That's why me and my brothers gave the approval to give him the vaccine. He's already got his first shot. He'll get his second shot in the first week in February. My mother contracted it, but thanks to God, she survived it. She didn't have anything but a fever one day. I'm thankful for that. But you know what? I understand the precautions. I don't like it. I don't like it. But I understand it because they are vulnerable. Those are the kind of people that we should be protecting. But brethren, we need to understand that this virus can hit any of us. Whether you do everything you're supposed to do does not mean you won't get it. Now, do I understand that? Nope. Can I guarantee you that? No. But here's what I will guarantee you. God can help you with anxiety. God can help you with fear. God can help you have faith and trust that no matter what may transpire, you'll deal with it. And you will not be robbed of your life or your joy or your worry. God can take care of that part. But you have to trust Him. I want to end part one today. I want you to go back to Psalms 46 for a moment. I want you to listen to the first two verses we read. Listen to what God's word says. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Ladies and gentlemen, is God your refuge and your strength? He is in my life. I hope He is in your life. You know what? That's one of the benefits of being a child of God. That's one of the blessings that we have because He can be our refuge and our strength in present time of trouble. Brethren, isn't it sad that the Christian who has this great advantage is not using it? That's a tragedy. To have the advantage, to have that promise, and to not use it. That certainly would be a tragedy, wouldn't it? To have needless worry and needless concern and overwhelming trepidation when you have God in your corner, that's a tragedy. God is our refuge. It is up to us to make that true in our lives. Please take your psalm books out and turn to page 330. If there's anyone here this morning who needs the prayers in the church on your behalf, I believe every one of you this morning in our audience are Christian. And for those who are listening via our live stream, we hope and pray that you're safe, and we hope and pray that you will trust God and remember that He is your refuge, He is your strength, and He will help you deal with the difficulty that this pandemic has brought into our lives. We just have to trust Him, we have to lean on Him, and we have to do what we can, and that God will do the rest. And if we can help you in any way today, we bid you to come forward as together we stand, as we sing.